Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. For those of you who are coming to this after the second and the third podcast, congrats, you made it through all the science, all the factoids, all the stats. I know that was heavy. I think it's interesting. I hope you found something interesting out of it. But more importantly, it really lays the groundwork for how we turn around diabetes. So today, we are going to talk about the four basic steps that I recommend to my clients to turn it around. So let's get started with this, guys. So step one, don't feed your body junk. Step two, don't eat all of the time. Step three, record your data. And step four, take good care of yourself. So let's look at each of these. So don't feed your body junk. This is real simple. Don't eat bad food. Anybody who knows me, you know I'm saying don't feed your body shit. That's really what it comes down to. This is a basic rule of thumb anybody should follow. How I tell folks, you know, if you're not sure, you should use the rule of thumb that if you can't find it in nature, you should probably let it pass. There's an American author and journalist and activist. His name is Michael Pollan. He's done a lot of work on food sources and investigating our food sources. He's wrote a number of books, but he promotes a similar mantra. And I think he puts it more sophisticatedly. If it comes from a plant, eat it. If it was made in a plant, don't. It's truly this simple. So why do I think this is the case? This is the philosophy that I use. My clients hear this frequently. We are animals of the earth, just like every other animal on the earth. We have a symbiotic relationship with the earth. However, we're the only animal on all of the earth that doesn't eat our food in the form that the earth makes it for us. You don't see deer complaining about grass and asking for Chinese food. You don't see a squirrel complaining about acorns and asking for a pizza. We're the only animals that do this. We're the animals that say, I see your lettuce, I see your cucumbers, I see your tomatoes, but I'm going to go ahead and eat Doritos and Red Bulls instead. And then we can't figure out why we're sick. Of course we're sick. Stay away from foods that cannot be found in nature. If you can't imagine where it grows on the earth, it's probably not food you're meant to eat on a regular basis. When you look at meat, if you can't imagine where it comes from on the animal, you should probably avoid it. So an example, you can bring me a chicken. You can point out where the thigh, where the leg, where the breast comes from. You will never point out a chicken nugget on a chicken. That is not real food. That is not food that's meant for us. You'll also not point out a chicken finger on a chicken, because as it turns out, chickens don't have fingers. So those kinds of foods you should probably avoid. If you're thinking of beef, you don't want to know where sausage comes from. Is a steak okay? Yeah, you can probably figure out where that comes from on the animal. Pork chops, you can totally figure out where pork chops come from on the animal. Again, you're not going to figure out where a hot dog or sausage comes from, and you don't want to. So your meat should look like the animal from which it came, okay? If you think about the recommendations that we get from the food industry and the quote-unquote experts, you recognize why we get it so wrong. You have to be willing to let that be wrong also. So the USDA food pyramid recommended 6 to 11 servings of pastas, breads, cereals, and grain each day. The revised 2019 pyramid recommends as much pasta, breads, and grains and cereals in your daily diet as you consume of fruits and vegetables. So here's what I'm going to offer to you guys. pastas are not plucked in a field. You're never going to pluck a bag of spaghetti or a spaghetti noodle in a field. And bread is never plucked in a field. I don't care if it's a 45 grain bread. You're not going to pick it in a field. Crackers, as fat-free as a saltine might be, you're not going to find it in a field. Fruit chews, you know, the fat-free alternative to real fruit with real fruit juice, they're not found anywhere in nature. Fruit juices are another one, right? They are not found in nature. They are a concentration of the natural carbohydrates and sugars that are available in fruit. They should really be avoided. If you think about how many oranges it takes to make an 8-ounce glass of orange juice, you would realize you'd never be able to eat all of those oranges in one sitting. The fiber in them would get you full long before you ate the 5 to 8 oranges it takes to make that 8-ounce glass of orange juice. That's the big deal. See, fiber allows your body to slow down the absorption of the sugars and the carbohydrates. When we process those foods and change them, we remove all that fiber and you can get these huge spikes of glucose, which then in turn lead to a huge release of insulin into your system, which of course we've talked about is the problem to type 2 diabetes. It's this insulin resistance that's caused from having so much insulin in your system all of the time. So what's left for you to eat? Basically, our foods should look like they do on the earth. They should be in the form that they come from the earth. That's what it should look like. You can go out to the field, you can pluck a strawberry straight from its plant, you can rinse it and eat it, and it's perfect for you in every way. It has the perfect ratio of sugars with fibers, with micronutrients, with phytochemicals that your body needs. It's literally made for us. Now, I can already hear you now, but my dietitian said I should avoid fruits. They have too much natural sugar. What I say to that is nobody got diabetes because of their strawberry problem or their apple problem. It wasn't the apples, the bananas, the strawberries, the grapes, or the kiwis. That's not what caused your diabetes. The fiber that is present in these natural foods buffers our body's absorption of those sugars, dampening the sugar spike and dampening the release of insulin. Remember that in a natural state, long before there were GMOs and transportation chains, our human bodies in their natural state were not able to eat all fruits all year long or all veggies all year long every single day. They were only available in their season. So am I saying that you should eat a pound of grapes every day? No, that's probably not a good idea. But the grapes are not the problem. It's the Doritos, the breads, the muffins, the fat-free candy, the soda, the rolls, the tortillas, and the Cappa Chappa Bappuccinos from Starbucks. Those are your issue. That's your problem. Cut that crap out. Once all of that's gone, if your sugars are still out of control, then we can look at the fruits and the starchy vegetables. Yes, I'm talking about potatoes, the starchy vegetables. Same thing goes. Potatoes are not the problem. Maybe potato chips are the problem. Maybe it's the fries. Maybe it's the hash browns. But it's not the potatoes. You didn't get diabetic from baked potatoes. Stay tuned and we'll talk in future podcasts about why chips are such an issue. But for right now, potatoes are not the problem. You probably shouldn't eat them daily. But baked potatoes is not what made you a diabetic. Simply put, eat foods in a form that can be found in nature. It's very simple. So the second recommendation I make to my clients, don't eat all the time. As human animals, we were not meant to eat from the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we go to bed. It's just not how we're made. If you think 10,000 years ago, there was not food on every corner. We did not have food available to us every moment of every day. And you know what? We populated the earth living this way. We became the dominant species on the planet living like that. It's exactly how we're meant to do it. Even if you think back to our ancestors from 300 to 500 years ago, making a 1,500 calorie meal was a colossal effort for us back then. It did not happen all the time. It did not happen daily. We feasted and we fasted. That's how our human bodies are made to live. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you that you should do a 30-day fast. If you wanted to do that, you could do it. I could help you do that, but nobody has to do it. Could you? Physiologically, could you? Sure, you could. Absolutely. It's our physiologic wheelhouse. Our bodies are perfectly adapted and designed to do it. See, when we eat and we feast, our insulin levels climb very, very high. If you remember, the role of insulin is to store up energy. The insulin takes the energy or sugar out of your blood, where it was absorbed by your digestive system, and it stores up that energy. When we feast, our body stores the extra energy that we're not using right at that time, usually storing it as fat. Now remember, we can make unlimited fat as much as we want to. If you find that you are eating all of the time, you can be assured that you are storing fat all of the time. When our bodies are in a time when food is unavailable or food scarcity, our bodies allow our insulin levels to drop very low. This allows us to tap into that stored energy, and we can use that during this time of food scarcity. It's perfect. It's exactly how we were meant to do it. Our bodies are perfectly developed to tolerate and even thrive during times of food scarcity. As a diabetic, you've done far too much feasting, which is what we do in America. We feast all the time, but we never balance it out with a fasting period. You've had so much insulin in your system as a diabetic for so long that your body is resistant to the effects. This resistance to the effect of the insulin no longer allows the cells to move the energy into them. This resistance to taking the sugar or the energy out of your bloodstream allows your blood sugars to rise quite high to a point that they are toxic to your cells. This leads to the consequences of elevated blood sugars that we've talked about in previous podcasts: vascular disease, kidney disease, and blindness. Allowing your insulin levels to drop very low is what allows your cells to become sensitive to the effects of insulin again. This is what I help my clients do. Once we normalize your nutritional hormones, your body starts to function again in the way it was meant to, naturally, without any medications. So step three, I recommend recording your data. Recording in a journal what you eat and what your blood sugars do when you eat. So you journal your food and you keep your blood sugar logs. Part of learning what your unique human body should be eating involves keeping track of what you eat, tracking your blood sugars, and comparing them with your food choices. Some human bodies respond to fruit differently than other human bodies. Some humans can tolerate more legumes or more nuts than other human bodies. Some human bodies can have grains more frequently than other human bodies. What will your human body do? Well, I don't know until I have the data recorded for me. I'll give you an example of this. When I was gestationally diabetic and having to monitor my sugars very closely, I noticed some trends that didn't make a lot of sense to me. So, I grew up in Chicago. In Chicago, we do pizza. We're not messing around. We don't do those cracker-type crusts that have crunch. We don't do that. There's no crunch factor in Chicago pizzas, right? Our crusts are measured in the inches. We eat pizza in Chicago. So when I was diabetic, I would eat pizza in this way because this is how I eat pizza, right? My pizzas, you can rest assured, were heavily carb-laden. My sugars did fine with this choice. The mind twist for me was that when I ate Chinese food with white rice, my sugars went through the roof. They skyrocketed. Now, maybe there was some rationale to this and that I would eat like sweet and sour chicken or lemon chicken, and those are sauces that are likely really high in high fructose corn syrups. But even when I ate things like Mongolian beef or broccoli and beef, my sugars would still skyrocket. It never made a lot of sense to me. It seemed that rice and pizza crust should have similar glycemic indexes. The point of this story is that I would have never known this had I not been monitoring my sugars closely and comparing it with what I ate, with my food choices. This is why journaling your food and comparing it with your blood sugars is so important to helping you reverse your type 2 diabetes. The next part of food journaling that's so important is making a plan. Making a plan and then sticking to the plan. This is kind of the magic in getting past your bad food decisions, okay? So when you make a plan for your food, you develop this plan from the prefrontal cortex of your brain. This is the part of your brain that weighs the pros and the cons and makes decisions in your best interest. It's your watchful mother. Who is it watching? It's watching your primitive brain. Your primitive brain is the part of your brain that makes decisions on the fly, based solely on what feels good right now and not thinking at all about your consequences. Your primitive brain is that friend in high school that got you into a lot of trouble. Most of the time, my clients understand that eating Twizzlers and pizza and potato chips are probably an issue. That's part of the problem, right? But in the moment when a decision needs to be made on the fly, the primitive brain comes in and it makes the easy feel-good choice. Not always the choice that serves your body. Making a plan that serves your body and your health helps eliminate the primitive brain's influence on your choices. This takes practice and is something that we work on during my program because the more you practice it, the better you become at keeping your word to yourself and in turn reaching your health goals. So you make a plan and then you stick to the plan. Here's the deal. When it comes time to stick to the plan, you're not going to want to. That's totally okay. You should expect this. You're going to do it anyway. We do this all the time in our life. Not every morning do we want to get up and go to work, right? But we do it anyway. Sometimes bills come through each month and you don't want to pay them because you'd rather go shopping for clothes. But you don't. You pay the bill. Sometimes when we're parenting, when our kids are doing something, acting up, we don't want to get up off the couch where we're watching our television show or reading our book or whatever we might be doing. We don't want to get up and go and discipline our kids. But we do it. And we do all of these things because we want the payoff that comes later on in life. We want to have money from going to work. We want to have money and pay the bills so our electricity stays on, right? We want to have responsible, productive members of society as children, so we get up and we parent them even though we don't always want to. There are all sorts of things that we don't always want to do, but we do it anyway because it's what needs to be done. It's the same thing with your food. You do what needs to be done because you want the end goal of being healthy and off of all your medications. So the last step or recommendation that I make to my clients, you take good care of yourself. All of your health goals are going to be easier to achieve if you're taking good care of yourself. What does that mean? So I break that into three different things. The first is water. Our cells are primarily water, and all of our cellular functions require water. Drink plenty of water. The process of releasing stored energy from your fat cells requires copious amounts of water. When we're dehydrated, our bodies send hunger signals to our brain, which makes sticking to your plan much more challenging than it needs to be. So don't let 64 ounces of water each day keep you unhealthy and on medications. Drink your water. The next part is sleep. Your body automatically fasts during your sleeping hours, unless you're one of those rare humans that's mastered a way of eating while you're sleeping, in which case strong work to you, but I totally know why you're diabetic. You need to sleep. When you're asleep, you allow your insulin levels to drop quite low, which allows you to start burning your fat stores for energy. Sleep's imperative to normal body function. There's so much evidence coming out about how sleep deprivation is increasing all causes of mortality. Cancers, cardiovascular disease, accidents, mental health illness, all of this increases in people who aren't getting adequate sleep. A lot of this is due to the fact that we release cortisol into our system when we're not getting enough sleep, when we're exhausted, when we're fatigued. Cortisol is a stress hormone. Basically, being chronically deprived of sleep is like chronically exposing yourself to undue stress. Also, when you don't sleep enough, you find that you make bad decisions. Part of this is due to your body releasing more hunger signals, and part of it is due that you just struggle to make decisions that serve your body when you're sleep deprived. So make sure you're getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep each day. And then lastly, exercise. Gentle to moderate exercise is a form of active stress relief. It's good for your heart. It makes your heart rate, your heart stronger. It's good for your lungs. It increases your lung capacity, and it's good for your soul. It offers protection to your bones from things like osteoporosis. It gives you a chance to have a quiet time with yourself and your thoughts. You can set your intentions for the day. You can set your goals for the day. But beware, strenuous exercise can backfire. Strenuous exercise leads to an increase in hunger signals to your brain, which makes it really difficult to stick to your plan. It can cause a release of epinephrine or adrenaline, which causes an increased release in blood sugars and then increases insulin production, which breaks your fast. So be smart about your exercise. You're never going to exercise off a pizza, no matter how far you run or how fast you run. In general, you should make better food choices to treat your diabetes, but you can use exercise to treat your soul. So a quick recap here. The four basics I recommend to my clients for resolving their diabetes naturally without medications. Number one, don't eat junk food. Number two, don't eat all the time. Number three, record your data. And number four, take good care of yourself. So go out, try these things out. I will talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.